This is a continuing episode about the film The Xenophobes. The series started at episode 342.
Mommy's an angel of peace. She will stop the fighting.
You've got a husband and two kids. And Cottrell is...
I'm Lancer Kind. I co-wrote a science fiction film called The Xenophobes. It's about a crew of astronauts who traveled 60 years to make first contact with an alien civilization. And things, didn't go the way anyone expected. Not for the characters, and honestly, not for the people who made the film either. We shot this film during a pandemic. Our lead actor flew from Moscow to Manhattan, Kansas, through borders that were closing behind her. Our director was also our cinematographer and our editor, and the story we ended up telling feels even more relevant now than when we wrote it. These are some of the folks who brought this film to life. They were the actors, the director, support staff, and the technical staff. In this episode, we're going to hear from Svetlana Tulsi, the star of the show, who plays Captain Sharia Bala.
My name is Svetlana Tulsi. I'm from Moscow, Russia, and I'm of mixed Russian and Indian descent.
Which is really surprising to me, because when I knew you more from just looking at your Facebook a few times casually, and I saw you doing the Bollywood dance bits. And so when you told me you're from Russia, I thought, whoa, that's completely not where I thought you were from.
Yeah, that's a pretty weird thing, because apparently Russia is not one of those countries that has a large Indian population. So it's just a couple of families, and ours is one of them. And I just grew up this half Indian kid in a Russian society, went to a Russian school. Russian is our family language. So it was kind of like I was a Russian kid. I just looked different. And then with time, I decided to, to get to know something about the Indian side of my heritage. And that's how I got into all this Indian dancing and performing thing.
So your acting career, is it also, do you have done work also in Russia and India? And I mean, tell me about that.
Yeah, sure. So I did my first television appearance back in 2013 when I did something called Ukraine's Got Talent. I did that as a dancer, so I performed a piece, and then I got selected for the semifinals, and it was all very unexpected, because I didn't even apply, like, I didn't even audition for that show. My mom did it for me by sending my videos to them, and I was like, okay, that's interesting. I didn't want to do that, I thought at that time, but time showed that this was a good decision, because it kind of kick-started my television appearance in Ukraine and Russia and India, and then I saw how much... response that had, and then I started doing a lot of other TV shows like Russia's Got Talent and So You Think You Can Dance in Russia and in Ukraine, and then a bunch of shows in India, and then everywhere I was either a contestant or a choreographer, or I was a sort of a creative like lead behind the scenes, like choreographing people or teaching them or something like that. All of those shows, even though I was there mainly as a dancer, it still required me a lot of acting, because reality shows, they're not about reality. They're about showing people what they probably want to see, So telling your story and all the drama, what made you cry, what made you become a dancer and things like that. And then I did a documentary film. It was a short documentary about my story, basically. So, like, I was playing myself, which is not that hard. It was hard in the sense that you have to open up who you really are. And that was, it was hard because we all go through ups and downs, and we all learn things along the way. And then in terms of acting, I did a bunch of work as a lead in a bunch of music videos. So there was no dancing involved in that, just some love stories or some broken hearts and things like that. So, and then I did my first Bollywood movie, which was a movie called Tamasha, Spectacle in English. It was directed by Imtiaz Ali, like a big name in the Bollywood film industry. And it was a kind of interesting experience because it was the first like actual big budget, large movie. I had a small part, but it was a large movie. And it was very exciting to be a part of that because I had all sorts of scenes, dialogues with the lead actors and dancing scenes and just pure acting, like drama theater kind of acting scenes. And that was a great experience. And I really learned a lot about working with the crew, working with the co-actors. And then I went to acting school after I did all of that.
Wow.
So I went to acting school in LA, in Hollywood. Wow. Yeah. And it was like a boutique, small acting studio with just the acting coach who was the main guy who taught me everything I know, basically. And his name is Greg Brown. He is a student of someone called Susan Batson. And Susan Batson is known in Hollywood for being the main acting coach for Nicole Kidman in all of her movies in the last 20 years. And she's developed her own method, which is basically probably a combination of all sorts of methods that are out there. So it's a little bit of script work, like script analysis work, like very technical stuff. A little bit of using your imagination, like what would I feel if I were in that situation that my character is. And of course using your own emotional life, like your own truth. So truth is the thing that she focuses on. So you want to find something in your life that made you feel the same way that your character feels, and then you just say the lines that your character says. But what you actually feel is real. It's not acting anymore. It's just living the truth. The classes I've had were very intense. So I took about, think 7-8 months of almost daily classes with my coach, wow. Like almost 8 hours a day. So it was pretty intense. And we've done a lot of actual useful work that I'm doing on the set right now. Like all the private moment scenes, or all the crying scenes, or the crying on action scenes, or all sorts of scenes. And it's really interesting that bringing that actual hands-on experience from the school into the set. It's really exciting. I'm really excited to be a part of this. It's really fun. Cool.
What connected you to Xenophobes? How did you find Xenophobes in you? How did you two meet?
Well, it was pretty interesting because I got this audition. So Hal, the director, Henry Dace, he found me on IMDb, maybe because of some filters, I don't know. And so he sent that audition to my agent saying, oh, here's a bunch of roles. There's the lead and there's the daughters. They're all sort of Indian-ish. So I thought, okay, I'll try. But then eventually I only auditioned for one role, the lead, because I thought, I have to travel so far to Kansas from Russia. Mm-hmm. I have to have a large thing for that. And so I auditioned only for the lead. And then, like it usually happens with auditions, you audition and then you're supposed to forget about it because you usually never hear back. That's life of an actor. Right, that's reality. And then I was very surprised to get an answer a couple of months later saying that, congratulations, you've been selected. I was like, okay. And that was March, when the pandemic hit and everybody was freaking out, not knowing what to do and what's going to happen next. And then the borders closing and everything. So I was like, okay, let's try to do this. How I really connected to the character is, I guess the way the character is written, when I read the script, I felt like it was written off of me, because a lot of personality traits, a lot of the ways I interact with people, with different kinds of people in my life, like with friends, I have this one side. With my beloved ones, I have a different side, and then with the professional setting, it's a third side. So it's really nice to see that three-dimensional character being shown in different situations, and then you could relate to that. You could relate to how the character responds in a certain situation as an audience member. So I thought this is so great, and the more the script was changing, the more I felt like, he knows something about me. How does he write? How did he write this in the script? That's exactly how I communicate with people. So I really thought, wow, this is really not just the physical description of the character, but the emotional life of the character, the sense of humor. It also, it kind of matches mine. So I thought it was a great match.
Cool. Tell us about the character.
So my character is Captain Shreya Bala. She is the captain of a spaceship on a mission to find alien life and communicate with them. And so she's this woman of color, woman of Indian origin, South Asian Indian origin. She looks a little younger than a captain would look, but she has that really tough character and ability to make decisions in hard circumstances when you have to act fast and smart. And I feel like it's really great that we see not just the captain side of the character, but also the woman side of the character when she's with her husband, with her kids, and with her just close friends, just being having intimate conversations. And I think it's really cool because you don't want to see just one, like the good guy or the bad guy, or like the strict woman or like the soft woman. You want to see all of that being the same person. Then you think, oh, you know, she, even though she's the captain, what did she have to do to reach that place? And then you just see, oh, she's actually just, she's a woman, she's human, she has her own weaknesses, she has her own sense of humor, and she has her own little things that she says or does. And that's what makes her a real, like, three-dimensional character that people can connect to. And I think it's my job to try to find as many ways that the audience can relate to what Shreya is doing or saying or how she's making decisions.
So Shreya has two daughters.
She has two daughters, yes.
So what's going on there? So Shreya and one of her daughters doesn't get along very well.
Well, apparently, since both of the kids grew up on the spaceship, they haven't seen much of any other life. They haven't been able to communicate with people as you would normally do as a kid on planet Earth. So they kind of develop their own little personalities. One is a little more mean, and the other one is a little just more like the Switzerland, like trying to be in the neutral territory between the family. So yeah, I did have an argument with one of my kids because she did something terribly wrong and it caused a lot of damage later on. Can't tell you what it was. Yeah, it's just, I guess it's normal for parents to have trouble communicating with their children, especially when they're teenagers, more or less. Mm-hmm. So you kind of feel like, okay, you know, I hate you, but I still love you because I'm your mom. So I'm gonna make it work. Something like that.
Right. Yeah. And then the daughter, she holds a grudge against you too, because of something that happened in the past, and she didn't agree with the decision, and she won't let you forget.
Yeah, that also happened because. Usually there's the younger one. The first kid usually gets the most attention, and then when suddenly the other one is there and she becomes the younger one, so she gets more attention. So the older one starts feeling, oh, you know, you didn't do this to me. Like, why are you so nice to her? You know, you weren't so nice to me. So they kind of have this competition, which I can relate to because I'm the youngest of the three sisters in our family.
Oh.
And I have a younger brother. So we were always fighting for our parents' attention. So I feel like, yeah, this is something that would happen in a real family, you know, not just some abstract spaceship characters, but an actual family and the actual situations that they might have. So it's good that we see that side of the characters.
Is this your first connection to science fiction?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I do love some of the science fiction movies. I think my favorite is Matrix.
Oh.
Because of just so many things. I've seen it 100 times probably, and every single time I see it, I discover something new about it. Like, I understand it deeper and deeper and deeper. And I think that's what's exciting about science fiction. If you can make your message, if you can create a message that people would need some time to figure out, you know, that's why this happened. So it's not just plain, like, linear storytelling. There is layers to it, and when you unfold them, that's what makes it fun to watch for an audience member. So yeah, I think it's pretty exciting. It's about the future.
Yeah, yeah. Did this story connect with you in any special way?
Well, yes, it does. There is a scene where a death happens. I'm not gonna say whose death or what, but I can definitely connect to that because I've experienced death of a close family member. It was my dad when I was 13. And I don't think I've still gotten over that, to be honest, because it was just so devastating and so sudden and out of the blue. It's kind of the circumstance in which it happens in the film, kind of sudden as well. And so while we were filming it, I didn't have to even try to cry. The hardest part was to stop crying in between the takes because of how deep I could feel that particular situation. But it's good for the character. As my acting coach says, whatever the hard things you've gone through as an actor, you use that for your character, and it adds so much more volume and layers to it.
Cool.
So you kind of use your own truth.
What was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene... I think my favorite scene was when I was with my husband sitting on a bench and just having this little private conversation, trying to figure out what we're going to do now that this happened and that happened. So it's just, I feel like because Shreya has to be the captain in almost 24/7 regime, whenever she gets a chance to be just a woman, she tries to enjoy that as much as she can. So she is just having all this... very flirtatious conversation with her husband, even though he's a husband, but he's sort of like the escape for her because she wants to be the woman even though she's the captain.
Right.
So I feel like those scenes just actually reveal the very fragile, the very sensitive part of Shreya. You know, it's really cool to explore that.
Wow, yeah. Did you find it difficult to channel shift from parenting to captain? Because I think that would be hard in real life, so I was wondering how it was you as an actress.
It is hard because you are so used to giving out commands because you've been on a spaceship for 12 years and that's all you've been doing really, and you didn't have much time for family, just relationships. So it's kind of like I had to stop myself from being in the captain mode and switch to the mother or wife mode occasionally. And I kind of have this conflict inside of me going on inside of Shreya because she knows she's the captain, but she's not supposed to be strong right now. She's just supposed to be there for my family no matter what happens. So it's cool to see that transition. I try to show that.
Cool. Did this movie pose any questions to you about our society?
It does. It does. I mean, I partly agree that there's a lot of bad things going on in the world right now, and humanity has the scope of being super terrible and super great, depending on people, depending on the communities. And finding that right balance that would be better for the world is hard. And we're trying to find that in the film, and apparently going into just the super great mode is not as good as it seems in theory because it destroys the whole purpose of life. You have no other option but to be good, so why do anything? You know, why develop? Why write music? Why, you know, do anything significant? Because, you know, you're just supposed to obey. And I think that goes against the human nature, which is to explore, to maybe destroy something along the way, but for the greater purpose. And so even though that's what I personally think, but the character thinks that, you know, just eliminating all the bad stuff that humanity has, it's probably not a good idea. Some of it should stay there at a small percentage just for the balance of things in life. But that's not what happens in the film, so I'm going to have to watch it just to figure out what...
It's a complicated issue. So, xenophobes and being xenophobic. How do you feel about that? Do you think there's ever a reason to be xenophobic, or do you think it's completely a negative trait?
I guess it depends on the situation. If you are in a setting where you just meet people you've never interacted with and you don't know their ways of talking or being living in the society, then you might feel xenophobic at first because you don't know nothing about their culture, they don't know anything about yours, so you feel like they're aliens and they feel the same about you. But I guess the key is communication. You want to try to find that medium where you could just establish how this is going to work, and that's what the character is trying to do in the film.
Any kudos or call-outs to the cast and crew?
Well, I think Hal is the number one shout-out, because if it wasn't for him and his vision for the film and his how much he dedicated to and like almost devoted himself and this project to making it happen with specifically the vision for me as the captain. It's really crazy to think that he had to go through so much just to keep me in the film. He could have had anyone in this country playing this role. He brought me from Russia, which is crazy. I missed a pandemic.
During COVID times.
Pandemic, closed borders. I didn't have a visa at that time. It was crazy. All the odds were against. So just shout out to him for sticking to his vision for this character for the film, and that I was a match for that. I think I'll be forever grateful for that. But also, I mean, the actors are amazing. Some of the people that I work with, they are so good in what they do. I learn from them as I go, and it's just so good to have that sort of communication, not just on set but also off set, like behind the scenes, where we just, I don't know, just we're there for each other, helping out. Do you need this? Do you need that? Can I help you with this? Can I help you with that? And that kind of builds that bond, which we are supposed to have as a crew in the film, because we've been on the ship for 12 years. So we kind of know each other in and out. So it's good to have that connection. So yeah, shout out to that, to the actors, to the crew. I think everybody's trying to do their best to make this film a success. And I'm going to try to do my best too.
Great.
What Hal did in this film, he stuck to his vision, and he really insisted that his vision is more important than any other circumstances that might be against this vision. And that's a rare thing in the current times, because usually when there's so much at stake, the budgets, the people, the production and everything, when you have so much at stake, you wouldn't risk so much, usually. You would just get a replacement quick and just, you know,
right.
Because money is king.
Right.
But apparently in this particular project, that's not the case. It's more about the dream project and making it exactly as he wanted it to be. And I think that's really, it's really amazing. It's very rare to experience that kind of attention and
yeah.
That kind of, it's incredible. It's incredible to experience that. So yeah, I think if it wasn't for him, for being able to gather together all this incredible people to do this a lot of work.
Uphill battle during the pandemic. It was incredible.
We're fighting
yeah.
All the odds are against, but we're still making it work. And that's incredible. If it wasn't for the teamwork, this wouldn't have happened. So yeah, teamwork is super important in such productions.
The Xenophobes is available right now on Amazon Prime Video. You can rent it for around $4 if you watch it and enjoy it. The single best thing you can do for us is to leave a star rating and a review on Amazon. And for goodness sakes, tell your friends to watch it too. For an indie film like ours, every review helps new people find us. You can find behind-the-scenes photos and updates on our Facebook page at facebook.com/apistrophepictures. There is a link in the show notes. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player for your easy access. If you're using a podcast player, they're right there in the interface. If you downloaded the show from a website as an MP3, go back to the website where you got the MP3 and you will see the show notes there. And if you want more about the making of the film or some cool banners, type into your favorite search engine, lancerkind.com/xenophobes/banners. There, the magic of the search engine will bring you right to my doorstep. And you will be able to click and download whatever banner you need for whatever social media situation you've got. Sport your colors and show off to people about this film. So that will help spread the word, and we will love that. You should download your Xenophobes banner today. Next episode, Sterling Matthew Oliver plays Ensign Johnson.
Well, it was Monday evening. This is, for reference, this is currently Wednesday morning where I'm speaking now. On Monday evening, I received a Facebook message from one of my friends saying, hey, I'm working on this film. We had somebody who can't make it, and we need somebody to come in, be here all day over the next 3 days. And he said, it's a sci-fi film, and it's a friend I really like. Do you want to, or can you come help? And immediately I was like, I love sci-fi. And, like, being a geek is so much of what got me into acting is because I like learning about so much stuff. Like, the conversations we've just been having about physics and stuff have just been so enticing to me.